The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel. You wanna be down with the kids?
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with... We've got more to talk about than ever. Was this the busiest NFL off day that you can remember?
Can you hear us? Can't.
I can't hear you. Test. Are you guys, can people hear us? If you can hear us, tweet us and tell us that you can hear us right now on the show. For whatever reason, we're having a hard problem. Testing one, two. I think I can hear me now. Yeah, I can hear me now. Hey, what's going on? Hey, Houston. Yo, H-Town, what up? I don't know what he says, but it's something like that. Good morning, everybody. Sorry for
the... Cam's stepping in today with us, and we've got some technical issues. Not his fault, by the way. And so he's having to deal. But this is what you have to do.
Okay.
This is what you have to do when you get... When a center snaps it over your head, and then you're set up with second and 27.
Yeah, you just got
to... You got to find a way to chop that yardage down
and
make it manageable.
So now you want to make it... So now we're trying to make this manageable.
Yeah, we snapped it over the head.
So everybody on the app could hear us loud and clear, but okay, I guess we're now over the air as well.
All right, so
we're
here we go.
Good over the air as well, hopefully. Then we've got... this is the good news, I think, for y'all. Maybe not. I don't know. But we got some commercial computer problems, so we are going to maybe have a 3-hour podcast here, you and I. So
I wouldn't call that good news.
Well,
to
I know
the listeners,
not for the listeners, because at some point
we'll just go national and go use the bathroom when we need to.
Yeah, right. No,
all right. Check in with Greeny.
And no, I'll just get up and you and Cam can talk. Okay, that's what we can do. So here's the deal.
How about us playing a long thing of music?
Oh, we could do
How
that.
About just
we
could play a long song.
What song would you? We had Salt and Pepper play yesterday.
Yeah.
Well, would you like to play in long form today?
Something by Prince from 1999, because there's some songs in there that are like 7 minutes long.
What about Thick Stairway, as a Brick? Thick as a Brick is one song on both sides of the album.
How long is that?
It's an entire album, one song. Thick as a Brick and a Passion
We could
play.
Do something by a jam band like, who does Solace go see? Not Fish, but Widespread Panic. They just do...
9 minutes
long? They just start playing music and just like they just start jamming. And I said, well, how long is this song? It changes from show to show, whatever they want it to be.
David says...
He said it can go really long.
David says, ugh, we can still hear you. You jerk.
Okay, so ask the question you asked when we thought we were on, and maybe we were on, but we're not sure if we were on.
Was this the busiest off-season day you can remember yesterday?
It's not the busiest, but it's the most impactful.
Yeah.
Yeah. If by busy you mean one thing takes up
you had all
10 stars, you know?
Well, you also had all the franchise tags, too.
Yeah, that's true. Yesterday, we had two 10-star moves.
Yeah.
We had... Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, when we say Aaron Rodgers, you also have to mention Devontae Adams. That got overshadowed. But the Green Bay Packers did a four-year, it's really a three-year deal with Aaron Rodgers. It's $200 million. It's really $350 million because that's what's guaranteed. It's unlikely to go to the fourth year. But it is a record-breaking deal by any measure. It's a deal that Bill O'Brien would have put together potentially, where it goes 25% over the highest actual number. I know the cap number for Matt Ryan is that, but that's not actual cash number for him. That's their cap number that they have. This is a $50 million cash number every year for the next 3 years, which is blows away Deshaun, blows away Dak, blows away Pat Mahomes. It comes on the heel of the new salary cap, and I think that's one of the things they were waiting for is the new cap number. Because you notice,
right,
as soon as a new cap number came out, a deal got done. So they were on the verge of being able to get the deal done. They just needed to see what the new cap number is. So this is it's bad news for mid-level players because it just means quarterbacks are going to get an even bigger chunk of your money. So an agent told me it's creating some ill will inside of football where quarterbacks are taking up a big chunk of the money and then not really caring about the rest of the guys on the team. For like, well, you'll say, hey, man, we got to get these other guys paid, man. You guys need to pay these other guys. Like, hey, right, that's a cool statement, but you're getting a gigantic chunk of the salary cap. So we'll see how that continues. Because no one's going to look at that as, well, Aaron Rodgers is a unicorn. That's why he's getting that much. All the quarterbacks are going to say, this is the new money. $50 million is the new money. That's what we should shoot for.
And yet,
so you're going to have some bad quarterbacks. You're going to have some average quarterbacks right now shooting for. Just imagine this. Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson. Yeah. Who else is coming up? Baker, Lamar, obviously Darnold, Sam. Josh Allen already got his deal done. I'm trying to think of some of the quarterbacks who will be coming up who say, well,
look at it.
$50 million is a deal. Ravens don't even want to give.
Yeah, you ain't Aaron Rodgers.
They don't even want to give $40 million to Lamar Jackson. I doubt the Cleveland Browns want to give $30 million to Baker.
I think the Ravens are going to be in the same position the Cowboys were in with Dak.
I think it's going to be very similar where you want the guy back, but you want him back at your price,
right,
and then there's going to be some fighting. And there is no agent for Lamar Jackson. It's his mom. So that's going to really be tricky.
Well, she should talk to Kyrie's mom about how to get this deal done. Because Kyrie's got his stepmom. Now, it's his agent.
But here's the amazing thing
is the Packers created cap space with the Aaron Rodgers deal.
With how they structured it.
Yeah, right.
And so they were able to get
they're going
to
get their hiney handed to them. Although it just seems like it's going to go up and up and up and up.
It probably will. The Amazon deal is a big deal. Did you see Amy Palchik is now with Amazon?
Oh,
she got hired away from the Jacksonville Jaguars. She's now doing PR for Amazon.
Really?
On the football side. Yeah, I don't know. So it's also come out to NFL.com. The NFL is going to sell NFL media 49% and potentially the NFL Sunday ticket rights to either Apple TV. The two big names are Amazon and Apple TV. These streaming services are going to be major players in sports. This is where sports are heading. They're headed to the streaming services because they've got all the money. So now when it comes to rights deals, if people want you to sign up for Amazon, you know, you're not signing up for cable anymore necessarily, but you might pay $9.99 a month or even $14.99 a month to be part of Apple service where you get sports and you get their programming.
I saw a number
yesterday. It's just a new HBO what it is.
Yeah, I saw a number yesterday of number of people that canceled their cable last year.
Uh-huh.
It was stupid.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
The cord cutting.
Yeah.
That's why ESPN is changing their model. It's less about broadcast. It's more about ESPN Plus for your broadcast stuff where you're paying for that separately and opinion shows. And let's face it, ESPN shows are getting dumber and dumber.
Yeah.
You know, no offense to the people who host it because a lot of times the producers are playing to the dumbest audience or the most basic audience where it's the same basic topic where you scream louder and louder. You just have very polarized. It's like having everybody on there Skip Bayless now. It's like everybody.
Yep.
Even former players, they sound like Skip Bayless trying to take on the most. They've turned Stephen A. into a cartoon.
Well,
Stephen has too, but
well, and Pat he's made McAfee's money with become.
It. Yeah, I mean, Pat McAfee, but he owns his own thing.
Yeah.
And so he knows if I go way over the top and turn this into a variety show, I'm going to make more money. And he did. Clay Travis has turned his own thing. Now he does some political, some sports. He understands it's my own media company. Yeah. He's made millions doing that. So the model is completely changing. My company, NFL.com, is going to, at some point, probably within the next couple of years, be owned by either Apple or we're hoping it's Amazon, I think. Amazon or Apple. No one wants it to be Disney because they'll just fire everybody. And so we'll see what happens there. But football is really changing, but that's going to – it's actually in a weird way, I think, going to create more money for players to, you know, get paid more, or at least quarterbacks to get paid
more. Well, and speaking of which, you know, Apple agreed to a deal, a streaming deal with Major League Baseball for Friday nights now.
Yeah.
That you can't get on MLB.TV. And so all those people that are on MLB.TV, love baseball, want to watch baseball, those games that are going to be on Apple are not going to be included
in
that package.
They're forcing you to buy new packages. This is really just a reassembling of cable, only HBO really truly owns themselves. They're not going through a cable company. You're going direct to consumer. You're going direct to business now. So now you're going consumer to business. So now you're buying, like Apple would be the HBO, Amazon would be the Showtime or whatever. You're having to go directly to them and buy their service. You don't buy it through cable, who's negotiating deals with them. So in some ways, you cut cords and you think you're less expensive, but actually you're paying more per month for them than you're going to be paying more than you would have. You just don't. This is finally the a la carte option. Cable was so stupid in satellite where they fought a la carte options, but this is what people want. So now they're just going to say, you know what? I have Netflix, Apple, Hulu, Amazon Prime, and I watch all the shows on there. You know what? I don't have like whatever I have to, but I still
I ESPN Plus as well.
I do too. Yeah. I have satellite still, so I still get those shows. But at some point, you know, satellite's probably going to go bye bye for me too. I'll have it for local channels and for NFL Sunday Ticket. And I do watch shows like 60 Days In and Alone and things like that on there. But I don't watch regular satellite.
The only thing I watch on there is an ESPN. And honestly, I don't know why I have a cable. I got a $300 a month cable commitment, which is stupid.
They've kind of killed themselves. Yep. Like cable and satellite they've not gotten it figured out. They kind of killed themselves. But the Aaron Rodgers deal was one big deal. And the second big deal, we got to get to a break right now. Just kidding. There's no breaks.
Well, I'm going to do a spot here. And then we're not going to. Is it working? Oh,
no,
it's not working.
No, of course.
So I'll do a spot here, but that's it. One spot, and then we'll get back to the conversation. Actually, we will talk about the Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers deals. And it was a huge, huge day yesterday, along with all of the franchise tags that happened. So we will have that on the other side. But first, I want to talk about Jeff Aronoff and Absolute Marble and Granite. Dude is just out there running and gunning and getting stuff done. And look, what is it that you need? You need that entire outdoor patio that you need. You want to put in a fire pit. You want to put in an outdoor kitchen. You want to put in a pizza oven. You want outside. What is it that you want to do? You want to put in countertops and sinks outside with your grills, and he'll cut out the countertop for the grill and have it perfect for you. You can have it in stone. You can have it in granite. You can have it however you want it. Jeff Aronoff has all of the options, everything that you could possibly need, but not just outside, inside as well. You want to redo that kitchen. You want to redo those bathrooms. You want to redo your floors, your walls, your ceilings, everything. It doesn't matter. If it's remodeling, it's Jeff Aronoff, and he can get that job done at Absolute Marble and Granite. So no matter what the job, there are jobs that are too small. No job is too big, though, for Jeff Aronoff. So give him a call, 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. It's Absolute Marble and Granite. All right. So back to the conversation. All right. Aaron Rodgers, 4 years, $200 million. It's actually a $153 million deal over 3 years, basically. Aaron, I don't know. It went from, I think I'm going to retire, guys, or I'm not sure I want to play here, to give me all the money you possibly can. And
it's a little disconcerting that this is a money run.
It was a money run.
It's a little disconcerting.
That was the whole thing, the whole time was a money run. I mean, she said that, we said this a while ago. That's all he's trying to do. He's acting weird. He's been over a year now. The dude has been like, I don't like you guys anymore. You guys don't love me. And I don't think it's what Charles Barkley said, that he's such a pretty girl and he's got to be told every day how pretty he is. That's not what he is. What he is give me that money or I'm getting out of here. Okay, he put a gun to their head, and you know what? They blinked, and they gave him all the money they possibly could. Listen, does he deserve it? Does he deserve to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL? The answer is yes. The answer is yes.
Yeah, he's easily the best quarterback.
He's the best quarterback.
And he should be paid substantially more than everyone else, if you really want to know the truth. Who's close to him right
Nobody.
Now?
Nobody. Nobody.
Is it Dak? Is it Mahomes? Even Mahomes right now. Now, you know, we're kind of taking this year by year. When Mahomes signed a deal, he was.
Yeah.
Without question.
Well, right, but Aaron Rodgers has been the back-to-back MVPs. Guess what? Aaron Rodgers is, and without him, that Packer team is mediocre at best. It is, and especially if Devontae Adams left as well, it's basically average players all over across the board. I mean, there are some good defensive players, a couple of good defensive players, really good defensive players.
If Aaron Rodgers left, that's a losing team.
It's a losing,
and they're still a pretty good team, but they're probably a losing team. Jordan Love, you know, I wonder if the Packers cost themselves more money by drafting Jordan Wood. Maybe. I mean, Jordan Love. Did they cost themselves more money? And what I mean by that is,
just
did you now
him
piss
off
Aaron Rodgers to the point that he now was going to play these games with you? He's played the last 2 years. I don't love you. You don't love me. I want to go somewhere else. I don't know if I'm going to play. Me and Shailene forever. Carving it in some wood. I don't know if I want to play. What about Devontae Adams? Take care of Devontae Adams. I'm not sure I want to play. Maybe I'd like to go to where Shailene lives. Now I'm broken up with Shailene. Like, now I want my $50 million, $51 million. I think drafting Jordan Love, which I understood it at the time. I didn't like that prospect. I don't think Jordan Love's going to be a good quarterback. But I understood the concept of Aaron Rodgers was coming off a bad year. People forget that. But it had been a couple years where he had not played well. And he is at an age where quarterbacks really diminish. This is really a new thing where guys in their late 30s are still elite level players. This is not a normal thing. You saw what happened to Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning fell apart at the end. He went from being record setting to could hardly throw the ball 12 yards. I mean, completely fell apart. Drew Brees, Tom Brady, and now Aaron Rodgers are truly the exception. This is not really a normal thing. Warren Moon, Brett Favre started kind of falling apart. Warren Moon started falling apart. This is an age where most quarterbacks fall off. And yet, Aaron Rodgers has gone back-to-back, you know. But we're also looking at Warren Moon and Brett Favre are not going to be looked at as two of the greatest quarterbacks who ever lived. They're not. They're good quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers is truly going to be remembered as one of the top three quarterbacks in this game's history and may keep going up depending on how he plays and how much. What if he wins five straight MVPs? And let's say he wins another Super Bowl. He won't catch Tom Brady from the standpoint of Super Bowls, but he's going to have a bunch of MVPs. Are we going to start having the LeBron Jordan conversation with Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers over the, you know, if he's able to ball out over the next 3 years and even extend it to a fourth year? So it's Aaron is a special, special player, but it's and the money will be interesting to see how they manage it. But with the new cap figure being released, like $25.7 million, I believe it's gone up. The Packers are able to keep those top two guys. And then I had them drafting Jameson Williams in the mock draft. I don't think they'll do that now. My assumption was that you could see Devontae Adams walk. With Devontae Adams sitting tight, I think now it's just with a franchise tag. We have to make this point. My editors, well, I guess you want to change your mock draft now that Cam Robinson signed a franchise tag with at number one with Jaguars. I'm like, no. A franchise tag is just, we're going to keep you one more year.
Yeah.
Unless you negotiate a long-term deal. And even if you did, I think they still draft Ike Ekwonu or Evan Neal and play them at right tackle and then bump Jamar or even play them at guard for right now and then eventually let Cam Robinson walk.
Yeah.
I think it's just a mechanism to hold on to him for a year, provided they sign the deal.
Yeah.
Because they have to agree to it.
All right, so the other big news, we got Mike DeCourcy going to join us in about 12 minutes here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 to talk college basketball, sporting news, actually a basketball writer, Hall of Famer, Mike DeCourcy. So we're going to do that at the bottom of the hour. The initial, what was your initial response when you heard the Russell Wilson trade?
Blown away.
I was giddy because I feel like Deshaun Watson is a better quarterback than Russell Wilson right now. if Russell Wilson, if now Friday is going to be a big day. Deshaun Watson is going to plead the fifth multiple times. With every question asked, Deshaun Watson is going to plead the fifth while a grand jury is convening. And the prosecutors will talk to a grand jury on Friday and we'll find out whether or not charges are going to come down against Deshaun Watson. If, in fact, no charges come from this grand jury, which has been convening for a while now, a grand jury has been convening, and I believe it's going to come down to possibly Friday whether or not we're going to find out if there are charges, misdemeanor. And if they're just misdemeanor charges, then it's going to be Deshaun is going to be pretty well off. If it's felony charges, now there's a problem. And there's a problem for the Texans, and there's a problem for Deshaun, and isn't unlikely. It is not going to happen this year until all of the felony charges are resolved. But this could be a huge, huge weekend for and into next week for the Houston Texans, and whether or not Deshaun Watson is going to get charged.
Go one of two ways,
and if he's not charged. And you see the haul that Russell Wilson got. If you get Drew Lock, Shelby Harris, Noah Fant, two firsts, two seconds, the fifth.
Dude, Noah Fant.
Yeah.
That's kind of a big deal.
It is a big deal. Forget the fourth and the fifth.
But you see that it can be players, too.
Yeah.
This is the point we've made before. Everyone thinks it's just draft capital, draft picks. Players can be included, too. And really are going to want to sometime and maybe even need to be included based on cap and actual real cash considerations. Remember now, when you trade a player who's got a lot of years left on their contract, it's going to accelerate when you trade them. You're going to take a cap hit. But with cap going up, this frees the Texans are free to make more moves. Like, they're going to have some cap room to maneuver around to fade Deshaun Watson, you know, trading him. But you can get players, too. It can be draft picks and actual players who can help your team.
Well, so what do you think? Seeing what the haul was for him.
Right. What all were the picks again?
I don't know. We don't know what Denver's pick next year is going to be, obviously.
Well, no, right.
And first and second. We got a first and a second. A first and a second.
So two firsts, two seconds.
Yep.
Back-to-back years. We've been talking about, well, if you got that with Deshaun, that'd be great. Guess what? It's going to be a lot more than that. And so everyone who acted like, just cut him, you can't get anything, just cut him. No, we're not just cutting him.
If you
get anything, just take whatever you get. Somebody gives you a second, you got to take it. No, that's not how this is going to work either. Stop being GM. You're the worst GM ever. Just take two-thirds and just be done with it. Deshaun's going to go to prison for life. No, he's not. Stop trying to make terrible trades, mini Bill O'Brien. Deshaun Watson is going to fetch more than Russell Wilson. You mean that quarterback who's in his 30s, who is, you know, been around the league a long time and has not played as well as consistently over the last couple of years? Deshaun Watson is going to get you, I think, three firsts, two seconds, and a player. It's going to be a good haul. Deshaun's going to be a good haul. It might be three firsts, a really good player, a second, and like a third or fourth. But he's going to get you a total of five pick/players minimum.
At least.
Yeah,
minimum. After watching what Russell will...
Minimum.
Okay, who would you rather have at quarterback? Problems aside, who would you rather have, Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson?
Well, I would have said Russell Wilson for years. But right now, you know, if you're making a deal as a team, you're looking at the next 4 years. You're not looking at the next two. You're not probably looking at the next three. You're looking at least the next four. And I'd say I'd take Deshaun over Russell over the next four. Oh, next five for sure.
Yeah.
Deshaun over Russell.
Well, and why is it just going to be next four or five? I'm thinking I'm going to have Deshaun Watson long-term wherever I'm at.
You can think that, but Deshaun already flaked out once. I don't know that you can.
Yeah, that's a problem too.
I don't know that you can trust him anymore. Can you trust David Mulligetta? I don't know.
Yeah.
If I'm somebody dealing with Deshaun, the one thing that concerns me is this guy literally signed a contract and immediately said he wasn't going to play. Like, you can act like that doesn't matter. But teams will all put themselves in the Texans' position and say, what if that was us? What if that was us? That's the one area that...
Well, you don't have Cal, though. So, I mean, unless you trade for Cal as your owner, you know what? I don't know that that's going to happen to you and your organization.
Omar Kelly from a beat writer from for the Dolphins, said, would you trade Tua, Christian Wilkins, Mike Gesicki, two first-round picks and two second-round picks for Russell Wilson? That was what I was telling Dell when we talked to Dell, and I'm like, Mike Gesicki, Xavier Rhodes, these picks, and Dell's like, no. But this is exactly what Denver did. Yeah. Denver, in essence, did that. So would you do that? We've seen a team who thinks they have a chance to win now do that. So the question becomes, how many teams think that Deshaun Watson is worth making this move for? In other words, how many teams are going to be okay fading the heat that they get? Because it's going to be temporary heat. He's not a guy who's going to – let's just face it. Fans will hammer some players more than they hammer others. I don't think Deshaun is going to have a long-term disagreeable fan base wherever he goes. This is not going to be the case. The fans are going to – there will be some fans who will be against him. But I think most of the fans, a high percentage of wherever he goes – they're going to be cheering for him so quickly you can't even.
I'm not worried about that. Now, the PR on it, I think maybe Washington can't do it. I think, you know, we saw Joe Banner's article yesterday, and he eliminated Washington because they have all of their problems with the owner and the accusations that are in the organization. Maybe they play themselves out of this, but I don't see anybody else saying, Philadelphia, you know, Philadelphia might be the favorite for it, but let's forget, Jeffrey Lurie is an advocate. Is a feminist. He's claimed to be a feminist. So it'll be interesting to see if he's able to put that aside and trade for Deshaun.
But this is something you have to remember. Our history of our nation has people who have been contrite, apologetic, who have made amends and have gotten back on the road. People are willing to forgive, but you have to be contrite. Deshaun Watson is going to have a sit-down at some point with a female journalist and answer tough questions. And once he gets that out of the way, I mean, they're avoiding everything else. Deshaun's avoided everything, and Rusty have avoided everything. And I'm sure a lot of that
has been amazing.
A lot of that has been...
legal problems.
Well, when I say avoid, it's also, you can't do these interviews. But a lot of the avoidance of when are you going to, these depositions, we're pushing it back as far as we can. I think some of that, John, has just been obviously strategic, if not all of it. But at some point, Deshaun is going to need to sit down with, I don't know who, Oprah, Pam Oliver,
Ellen.
Know. Yeah. No, not Ellen. She's got her own issues. I don't know.
No,
not Molly.
No,
Cara.
If I'm Deshaun, I go, what you talking about, girl?
let's see. Who's a hard-hitting right now? Who's a hard-hitting
female journal?
Number one. Who is it who's on HBO? Huh? Andrea Kramer. Maybe Andrea Kramer? I'm trying
Jamel?
To think.
Jamel would be sympathetic to actually him. Think, I don't know. That'd be interesting.
No, she will be. No. The one who used to be at, who's with CBS Sports now, who used to be with ESPN.
Erin Andrews.
No, but she could be one, but she's not really a hard-hitting journalist. I don't know. I don't think it should be a man. If I'm Deshaun's team, I want to find a female to do it. We'll say you go see somebody who's friendly to your cause, but you tell them, you can ask whatever questions you want, but you already know they won't push on certain things, but they'll push hard enough. Deshaun, if I'm handling the spin for Deshaun Watson, the first thing I do when this is done, if he doesn't face criminal charges, is I'm setting up that really tough interview. Because what you have to do is assuage the general public in a very general sense so that fan bases in Pittsburgh, in Philadelphia, in New Orleans, in Atlanta, all these different places get on board. Because let's face it, as the Texans, we need Deshaun to be cool with a lot more teams than he is right now.
What if it's Maria?
This is one of the teams he wanted.
What if it's Maria Taylor, and at the end he says, girl, you got some nice long fingers. What would that be like?
Did this come from Twitter, or is this your work? Yeah. It sounded like your work. No, I think that's so much damage.
All right. All right, so do your commercial here and talk about Stephen Schell, a Texas Custom Patios. Talk about him. And when we come back, Mike DeCourcy is going to join us right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Well, let's talk about Texas Custom Patios. I should just get Stephen on the air and just do a 30-minute interview with him. because that's the work that he does. Texas Custom Patios. It's really tremendous work. And what they will do, I talked to him yesterday. We have a meeting coming up. We had to push our meeting because I'm going out of town with my son to go check out a college campus. But they have work here in Houston they're doing. They have work in Dallas that they're doing. They have work in Austin. I think they're moving to Denver as well. Like, this is a company that is getting bigger and bigger. And you know why? The word of mouth has been incredible. One person tells the other person, they see the work that's been done, and they are in. And the work that he does for your home, well, number one, whatever you pay, you're going to get back when it comes time to sell your home, because it is truly building equity in your home. But the other thing it does is it builds enjoyment in your home. You can turn your house into a home with my good friends over at Texas Custom Patios. What they build out is spectacular. You get the fire pit. You get the fireplace if you want that. You get the sound system up in the gabled roof. You get the big screen outdoor television set up. Can you imagine having your own bar area that's built in, or a kitchen, or an outdoor island that is set up for all your cooking? Depending on your space, they can build something that is really, really special, and it's specific to your particular layout. So if you go to the website, texascustompatios.com, you can see all the great work. texascustompatios.com for the before and after. texascustompatios.com.
All right, there we have it. And Mike DeCourcy from Sporting News, a U.S. Basketball Hall of Famer, working on getting we're getting an answer machine. All right, so we're working on getting Mike DeCourcy in here to talk some college basketball a little bit later in the show. You know, I want to get a little bit later in the show, we'll get Terry Yates on to talk about this situation legally with Deshaun Watson, so we'll do that. Mike is on with us here on ESPN 97.5. Mike DeCourcy, Sporting News and U.S. Basketball Hall of Fame writer. Mike, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
Well, we appreciate you being with us. That Gonzaga win last night over St. Mary's, maybe a little bit of revenge, maybe a little bit of, hey, everybody slow down about Gonzaga. Is Gonzaga your favorite right now heading into the tournament?
No, I don't think so. There are things about the team that I'm just not convinced on. Chet Holmgren, who will be one of the top four picks in the NBA draft in June, can do a lot of things that are extraordinary and affect the game in a lot of ways. And he could be the kind of difference maker who supersedes that particular prediction. But the team it's extremely wide open. Every single team that has a chance to win this has a significant reason why they won't. And so at this point, without yet seeing what happens over this weekend, What I'm looking for is the team that maybe scares me the least, that they'll underperform and disappear early. The team that scares me the least is Arizona. They seem the most solid in a lot of ways. They've got great big guys. They've got a really terrific game-changing guard in Ben Mathurin. They get a good solid point guard in Kirk Caruso. They worry me a little bit because they're not very three-point oriented, but when they need to, they can usually make a shot. And they defend well, and they run good offense. So that's the team that scares me the least. If you could give me 100% surety that Kentucky is 100% healthy, I might change that to the Wildcats. But they have been so rarely 100%. They've been missing players in almost every one of their big games. That scares me a lot, and would be the reason I wouldn't choose them.
Interesting. Arizona at the top of your list. Kansas coming down the stretch too is playing pretty well. What do you think of the Jayhawks, Mike?
Well, I like them. I what bothers me about Kansas is that you know that you're going to get great play and almost inevitably from Ochai Agbaji. He's an All-American. He's done a fabulous job. And Christian Brown is a very reliable producer. I wish that he were more assertive in big moments, because I think he's really a talent. But he tends to rely upon others. And you know, when you're giving it to Ochai Agbaji, okay. But a lot of times he gives it to who's ever available in those moments. So that bothers me a little. But what bothers me the most about them is that those two and Jalen Wilson are the only three players that I know I can count on even being in the game. I mean, they don't have the solidity that other teams have. They have three guys that you know are going to be out there, and then the rest is just mix and match. They've got a lot of options, and if those other seven, eight players were more reliable, by this time, Bill would have chosen, okay, these are the five that start and play most of the time. These are my two, three reserves. Let's go play. That's not how it's gone. I mean, it could be literally any one of six or seven other players with that trio. And I don't think that wounds at all. I think you need to have more continuity to be a champion.
Mike DeCourcy with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Mike, where would our Cougs be if Sasser and Mark hadn't gotten hurt?
Oh, gosh. If they hadn't gotten hurt, I think they would be one of the best teams in the country. I mean, they've been very successful, almost unreasonably successful, without two starters. To lose 40% of your lineup, and I believe at the time they were two of the three leading scorers.
Mm-hmm.
I know Marcus was. I don't have the stat sheet.
Trayvon didn't play much. He didn't get too much time this year.
Okay, yeah. So definitely Marcus was one. I think that has been a significant blow to this team, and they've struggled in their biggest games without him. Sweep by Memphis, lose the road game at SMU. I mean, they were very good early before those guys got hurt, and were in a lot of really tough games, just didn't quite push the ball over the goal line, but they were very good. I mean, right now, I see them continuing to fall down my seed line, and maybe I'm being harsh. I don't know what other bracket analysts are doing, but I have them at this stage all the way down to a six, and I don't think there's any question that if they had had the full complement of players, that they would be right in the middle of the 2-3-4 debate, which is full of very strong teams.
Yeah, I said Tremont. You know what? That's a dangerous six, though, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they've shown the capacity, like they did in the second SMU game. I mean, they've shown the capacity to still go out there and just, destroy somebody. I mean, that was a big game for SMU, and they were never in it. The Cougs took it right to them and dominated the entire way. So they still have that ability to do that. And I would say that absolutely, if I'm, who knows who they face, but right now Tennessee, Purdue, Villanova, and Texas Tech are my threes, and I would guess that, in bracketing, that I would probably, they would be somewhere in the realm of, probably playing Texas Tech or something like that, playing Tennessee, and they would be a handful for those teams.
I think one of the teams locally that's also been, I think, kind of a surprise lately is I really thought Texas was going to build a lot of momentum off of the win against Tech. You had Beard going into a hostile atmosphere and his players rising to the occasion. And I thought, okay, this is really going to be a springboard for them, but it really hasn't been a springboard for them at all. And it's kind of the strong get stronger. Here we go. Here's Baylor. Here's Kansas making a move up. Do you see, we talked about Tech, you just mentioned Tech as a three, Texas or Texas Tech, those two teams specifically in the conference, because I do think Baylor and Kansas obviously are going to be factors and well up to seeds, but do you think that either Tech or Texas could make a run to Elite Eight status?
Well, the difference between the two teams is very, it's very stark, because Texas Tech is one of the most connected teams in college basketball. If they weren't, they'd be a 7-8, maybe. I mean, they'd be having a good year, but that connection that exists for nearly all of their players and their devotion to their defensive game plan and to the ability to be so much better together than they would be individually. That's what's got Tech to where they are. If Texas had that, Texas would be one of the best teams in the country. They just haven't been able to establish that. They have not been able to get that absolute devotion to one another, the constant chemistry on the floor. They don't have it.
Yeah.
And I don't know whose fault that is. I don't know exactly the reason why they haven't built that. There are a lot of new players there, and they've spent a lot of this year trying to get it together to where they be a five-man unit, and it had great moments, but they haven't had that consistency. Now, a lot of times you get to March and guys start to realize, hey, if we don't do this the way coach is telling us, we're done. And for some, that's what they want. Some teams want it to be over. I don't sense that necessarily from Texas. I think they still throw enough good basketball onto the floor that it wouldn't be a shock to see them rise up and play well in this tournament.
John's right. That was the Tech. I remember as at Senior Bowl, it was Tech got whipped in the revenge game. That Beard got whipped there. So you're right.
North Carolina, what I saw of them, Mike, on Saturday night, what the heck happened to them most of this season?
That's a fantastic question. I was just stunned by what I saw on Saturday night. There had never been an indication that was in their arsenal. I mean, every good team they had played, I mean, every legit NCAA tournament team they had played, they were beaten. And in many of those were handled, like the Kentucky game in Vegas. I mean, it was non-competitive, even though Oscar Tshiebwe only played about half the game because of foul trouble. They got run out of the gym. And all of a sudden, maybe it was just desperation. I think that a lot of people have tried to ascribe the idea of ruining Kay's night, and although I think they took particular delight in that after it was over, I think there was an understanding there that if they didn't get that win, there was a very real possibility that they could be on the outside. Not that it was a guarantee that they wouldn't make it to the tournament, but they opened the door to be left out if they didn't get that one. And they played those final 10 minutes like their next meal depended on it. There was so much ferocity in the way they played. And I was really impressed by how much they wanted it. I can't understand why it took that long. Yeah, they're not as good as Kentucky, but they shouldn't have been 20-plus points worse than them on a neutral floor. They shouldn't have been blown out at home by this same Duke team. Beaten, maybe. I mean, that happens. But blown out, absolutely owned, that shouldn't have happened. They're talented enough. What you saw out there was, maybe their A++ game, but still, I mean, what you saw out there that day was not out of reach for them. They've got really good, solid guards in Caleb Love and RJ Davis. They've got Brady Manick. Seen him for years in the Big 12. He's a good, solid player. He wasn't that for a lot of this year. And Armando Bacot's one of the best big guys in the country. But even though he was that, a lot of times he got ignored in his own offense.
Mike DeCourcy with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Mike, every year we see conferences collapse, conferences rise up in the tournament. Which conference do you see that maybe is going to sputter this postseason, and which ones are going to flourish?
Well, I think that the Big 12 will have a good tournament, in part because they have so many options at the top of the bracket. I mean, you've got Auburn and Baylor both still in contention for one seed. Texas Tech, if they did something great in the Big 12 tournament, maybe they could get to the two line. They're a really solid three. I think it's hard to move them back beyond that unless they were to lose a quarterfinal game in Kansas City. And we'd already talked about Texas. So I think they'll have a good tournament. One of the things that's interesting is that what we see sometimes is a lot of arguments back and forth about how can the ACC get five teams when they are having such a bad year. Well, what people forget is that one of those is Duke, and the other four are all nine seeds or below. So that's how they get five. Somebody's got to be seeded 12th. But that's not a statement of great strength on the part of the ACC. That's look how empty the ACC is, that they got nobody higher than Duke, other than Duke, higher than a seven seed. I think that Carolina could still probably get to a seven if they were to win the ACC tournament, because they wouldn't want to put a team that's capable of what we saw on Saturday opposite a one seed in an 8-9 game. But they would have to really earn that with another few good couple of days. I don't think that Wake and Notre Dame and Miami will be around the tournament super long.
Yeah.
I do have a question for you. I wanted to circle back. I wanted to ask it at the time because I'm curious, Mike, your thoughts on this. I'm a big believer in styles make fights, matchups, the whole nine yards. And so when we watched a really talented Gonzaga team last year get run off the court by Baylor, you recognize that they could play 10 times and Gonzaga probably wasn't going to win that even half those games.
No.
Is there any difference? I mean, you have Holmgren as a big factor. Suggs is gone. You've got a very similar Gonzaga team now. Do they face the same issues and concerns against a highly athletic, long-limbed squad, again, that can defend out on the perimeter? Are they going to face the same exact issue?
I'll be honest with you. I don't think it was the athleticism and the length on the perimeter that got Gonzaga last year. It was the physicality of Mark Vidal and Chamo Chachua and Flo Zamba and that group. That's what destroyed Gonzaga last year. And honestly, that's their problem now. Now, maybe they don't face a team with great physical power in the tournament. It's possible. But that's what got them last year. It helped to have a point guard who wouldn't let the Gonzaga's guys move. I mean, Davion Mitchell was fabulous. But the real difference was that Gonzaga was absolutely destroyed on both backboards. And I still see that problem. Holmgren obviously is he's not Mr. America, and I see that in Drew Timmy too. When they played St. Mary's each of the last two times, the first time Timmy never really got fully involved because he was being moved, and last night it took him a little while to get involved. I think eventually once the offense started flowing from the outside, they had to stretch out, and then he had a little bit more room to move on the inside. But if they were to face, just to use an example, let's say Illinois wound up in the West for whatever reason, and they've got to deal with Kofi Coburn, that could be problematic for them. It'd be better suited for the opponent if it was Kofi Coburn and somebody else, or some team that had two big guys that are physically punishing. But I think even dealing with one will cause some issues for the Zags that they'll have to overcome probably with a great shooting night.
All right, Mike, before we let you go, is there too much pressure on Duke to win this for Coach K?
Couldn't even be North Carolina.
I know, at home.
In his last game. There's a lot of pressure.
Is it too much pressure for this team?
You know, I will be honest with you. I didn't think that the pressure was an issue on Saturday. And the reason why is because they came out and they played for 15 to 20 minutes. I'd have to think, I have to watch the film again. But for the first part of that game, I was watching them and thinking, who's going to beat these guys? And Trevor Keels was really good. Paolo Banchero was ridiculous in the first half. I mean, the move he was making, like I had been starting to think, all year I've been thinking, okay, if I were the GM with the number one pick, what do I do with that? Do I go with Jabari Smith? Do I roll the dice on all the things that Holmgren can do and forget about the fact that he's, physically not the same as Smith and Banchero? Do I go with Jaden Ivey's A++ dynamism? When Jaden comes into the league, he's going to be one of the four or five most dynamic players the minute he crosses the stage on draft night. So what do I do with that? And I started to fall down a little bit on Banchero, and then that first half was like, no, don't give up on him yet. And then when that hunger that I talked about from Carolina got unleashed, I think it was really just more the game momentum that got him. I didn't think it was the pressure of that. So I don't think that it's going to be pressure for trying to get Kay his final one that undoes Duke. And I think eventually, I don't think they're going to win it. I think they can. So, but I think what will get them in the end is this is our shot. I mean, they're not ever going to be together again. Every four of their five stars are going to be a first-round pick this June. So it's always more about this is our chance, not this is Kay's last chance. This is our last chance, too. And, yeah, we want to win it for Coach, but we want to win it for us, too. So I think what will get them is just eventually they're going to face somebody that's got a really strong point guard that gets the ball where he wants to take it, like RJ did on Saturday night, and that's what gets them beat.
That's Mike DeCourcy. He is been with Sporting News forever, and he's a basketball writer, Hall of Famer. Mike, man, we really appreciate your insight, and maybe we can talk again during the tournament. That would be great.
Sounds great, guys. Thank you.
There's Mike DeCourcy here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. Top of the hour, who you got coming on with us?
John Murphy. He's a long time. He's covered the NFL draft for Yahoo, for NFL Draft Bible. He's been a Grey Cup Award winner in the CFL, handling personnel stuff for them. So he lives here in Houston, and we've got some NFL stuff and some draft information coming out of the in terms of the combine that we're going to talk about.
Good. All right. Right now, though, I'm talking about HRP, HRP.net, 281-880-6525, or HRP.net. That's my peeps over there, Mike Holly. Mike and Chris and Kevin and Chad and all the guys over there are just awesome people. But the most important thing is that you get your payroll at the price that you want it at, that you get the best in service, that you get a quality product. I mean, we never have mistakes here. We have an HR. Whenever we have HR issues, then we've had HR issues. We call them and we make sure that we're going about it exactly the way we should, or that they have to step in and talk to whomever it is, and that's what they do. And then when it comes to our tax time, right now, Laura loves them because they're taking care of our taxes. They're taking care of our Affordable Care Act to make sure that we're compliant. Is your payroll company doing that? Or are they just sending you everything? All right, here you go. No, ours takes care of that for us, and they're Affordable Care Act experts. Look, ours is the best. We love them. You will love them too. Let them come and give you a customized plan just for you. Just get the whole thing started at HRP.net or 281-880-6525. Tell them you heard it right here.
ESPN 97.5.